Yes, I'm sorry for bringing Contagious to you all. It came on Sunday, and I thought, well, we'll just stay clear of people. I want to preach. It's always a blessing. It's always a privilege to be asked. And we came out of different things this last week that were exciting, you know, the last couple of weeks with Youth Ablaze, and the Blowout, whatever else people have been doing. You guys see David Spurgeon standing up here? I mean, I sound like him to myself. A little rough. Maybe I should sing a special. Yeah, well, I guess I never stood next to him. I don't know. Thank you. I needed that. That's good. Tonight we're going to turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I'd like you to look at James chapter 5 and verse 1. We're going to read up to verse 8. It says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for just the encouragement it gives to us. And I pray that tonight you'll speak to your people through me. And do it in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. And bear with me. I'll do a different style tonight. I'll be slower. I'll save my voice. But in this, we find the term precious fruit. We've heard about precious things over the last couple of weeks, and we had some wonderful testimonies, and God's been working in lives in a wonderful way. But in this scripture, I want to focus on that precious fruit in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and latter rain. You know, when Jesus Christ died, he was like a grain of wheat that fell into the ground and gave his life that others would have life and spring from that life. That's what he tells us in John chapter 12. And Jesus Christ did, and we are the fruit of that dead grain. He gave his life that we would be a precious harvest for him. So you can see that each one of you is precious in his eyes that have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Each one of you is part of that harvest that the husbandman is waiting for. Husbandman, that's another term for farmer or someone that deals in the agriculture. And he's long waiting for that, and he's patiently waiting. And there's evil men that are getting by with things that are not right. We know that, and we feel it. But we just look to him, our precious Savior, and we're his precious, precious fruit. Now, I want to take this further. When you realize in John 15:8, we had Brother Saxton here, and Brother Saxton, he was expounding on, Tony was talking about the abiding, and he always talks about abiding in the vine, and that's, you just see him and you say, abiding in the vine, you know, that's his message. And he does, and he realizes that close relationship is so important. In John 15:8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Okay? So we know about abiding in the vine. "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." So each one of us are called to be fruitful. And we're also told here in verse 8 of John chapter 15 that the Father is glorified if ye bear fruit. And I want you to realize that we must be fruit bearers to the glory of God the Father. If for no other reason, if you don't want to be, you know, fruitful for the sake of getting awards to yourself or something, it glorifies the Father, and that should be our mission as children of God. Because he tells us right here, isn't it up here? "Thou art worthy, O Lord." The whole purpose of our life is to give glory to God. And it happens with abiding in Jesus Christ. That is the message, whether you be old or young, a new Christian or old Christian. It's about abiding in Jesus Christ. It's not about, at end of life, what great things you have done. You know, I think many of us will say, "What have I done with my life?" You know, how quickly somebody can become ill, and then they have to stop, and they look back over their life, and they say, "What have I done?" That's good. What's the fruit? What's important? What really matters? And the thing of abiding in Christ, bringing forth that fruit by abiding in Christ, is the important thing that's going to really matter. In that abiding with Christ comes out of the different works, the ministries, and the things that happen, but it has to be first by abiding in Him. We're not just going to go off and say, "Oh, I'm going to do the serving the Lord in this or serving the Lord in that." Not with abiding in Christ. You've got to be in Him. And that's where our focus needs to be. Psalm 90, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Who said that? Psalm 90. Anybody know? That was Moses in the Psalms, one of his. "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts." You know, applying our hearts to wisdom, it takes effort. We've got to figure out what it is that God wants us to do. What's His wisdom? What's His direction? And that comes by abiding in Him, abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches, and we are to bear fruit. So fruit is likened also to works. When you look at the fruit of the Spirit, we have the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on that you have in Galatians 5. But it's likened, or it's compared to, the works of the flesh. Isn't that interesting? Works compared to fruits. But I think that shows us that what comes forth is actually a doing, but it's based upon an inner understanding that happens through the Spirit. So the Spirit is going to work in us, and through that, producing the love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. By producing those things, the fruits or the works that come out of us are going to be characteristic of those things. We also hear about the works or the fruit of righteousness through Jesus Christ. And there's so many different verses we could look at and go to. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make this too long. But I'm going to try to give you things that when you're reading your Bible, you're going to say, "Yep, there's that fruit. There's that righteous fruit. There's that fruit of the lips, even praise unto our God. There's that fruit of the womb." Melanie? Precious fruit, okay? The fruit is what comes forth, and it comes forth from us as could be our actions, our doing. Some of the Hebrew texts that, you know, Pastor was going through doctrinal things with us on Sunday, and we were looking at James and Hebrews and various things that were showing, okay, these are for the Jews, perhaps during the time of the tribulation, and maybe everything doesn't exactly pertain to us, but we can always find parallel truth in those things we can read something that's for them, but for us it has a parallel that pertains. Like you can see in the Old Testament, there's passages about treading out the grain and not muzzling the ox. And that pertains in our New Testament, the pastors being provided for in their ministry. And there's that type of thing going on too in Hebrews and in James and various texts. Tonight I want to look at some of those things in these texts. For example, in James, there's external things that they want to see in James, like, show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works, you know? They want to see something. And when we look at that now, I think in our modern times, we say, well, that's just telling that people look on the outward, so we want to show people we have faith by the outward, and God looketh on the inward, but... You know, really, during the tribulation, apparently there's going to be a time you have to really have these works, have the show of it, the consistency in your what you're speaking and what you're living. So we find these things in James, show me thy faith. In our time, we can see that as like a testimony. Show me your faith. Let's see what you do with it, you know. We look at each other, we want to see the fruit that's being born in each other. We want to see that testimony. It comes from our new nature. And from that we have wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Right in James we find that, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James chapter 3:17. See that? Good fruits. And that comes from the wisdom that's from above. Moses says, apply yourself unto wisdom that is from above. So how is your testimony? Do you make peace and apply your heart to wisdom like Moses did? The wisdom that's from above. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I think that's again what we find in abiding in the vine. It's all about that closeness with him. Remember, you know, you can get busy with all types of things, but when you get close with him, he can start directing you the way he wants. And in troubled times, that's the real test of our fruit. That is the real test. You think about Jeremiah 17:8, again, going to the Old Testament. There's a passage that we all know, 17:9, the heart is deceitful. But right before that, there's the whole description of the tree that's planted by the river and spreads out the roots by the river and planted by the water. In times of trouble, that tree in Jeremiah 17:8, its leaf is green and it brings forth its fruit. And it's not worried, it's not concerned about the heat, the drought, because it's got its roots down. And that's akin to us, again, having that attachment to our Savior in the heat. And we have a time that we're going through now that may be heating up. And I think that's what this message is about. Pastor Kinney's mentioned it, others have mentioned it, but things are weird, things are strange, things are getting harder. And we need to be ready in our heart to have a closeness with the Lord to endure hardness as a good soldier. And in that closeness, we'll have the right type of fruit through it. That's the important thing, to have the fruit, be a fruit-bearing Christian through it. Remember in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. A doing. That fruitfulness is a doing thing. Keep that in mind. In our times, we might be pressed to do things that we are uncomfortable with, like wearing masks and other ridiculous things. But in the times that we're going through, we have to internally have the right spirit, even though externally things are falling apart, so that externally our light can shine the glorious gospel, a life worthy of the greatest message ever And there's still so many that need to hear it. Our most precious fruit may come out of our troubles. Not just the times we're going through, but each one of us may face physical health needs or financial or family or something that's just a devastating thing to us. And in those things, even though the whole world may be heading south and our whole world may be falling apart, we will be traveling north soon. We're waiting for that. God's glory. Real soon. But until then, we're going to hang on and endure hardness as a good soldier. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Hebrews 12:11, remember, don't despise that. The Lord may bring us through some chastening, even though you seem like, okay, we're just part of a group and we're being chastened by a group, in a group. But you know, the chastening of the Lord is for your good. He doesn't want us to avoid that. That's an awful thing. It's going to be there to produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You'll find that in Hebrews 12:11, that peaceable fruit of righteousness is produced by his chastening hand upon us. Please turn to Jeremiah 24 with me. Let's look at some Old Testament here to finish up. Jeremiah 24. Now the children of Israel were in trouble. They were being chastened at this point because they had disobeyed the Lord. They were a mess in the way they were living. They had forsaken the Sabbaths. The land was really going to be troubled now, and King Nebuchadnezzar was coming upon them, and the false prophets were all saying, let's fight this, let's escape, let's do whatever. But Jeremiah kept saying, no, you're going to give in to this king of Babylon. That's what God's will is. He wants Nebuchadnezzar to take you captive. And if you don't, there's going to be greater trouble upon you. You're going to be destroyed. But go, chastened, and let God have his hand upon you. Well, let's read about this particular passage of scripture about what really happened. And he likens it to two baskets of figs, naughty figs and some good figs. And even though it's Old Testament, again, it parallels our times and God's hand upon us. We've got to think, do I want to be one of those naughty figs or one of those good figs? Even though I don't maybe feel like I deserve this or that, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Let's just read through this and come to some conclusion. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, carried away captive Jeconiah and the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, and the carpenters and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good. I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Amen, amen, amen. Isn't that what God wants us to do in abiding in him? That's it. That's a parallel for us to look at, what God wants to do. He may want to chasten us, but it's for our good. Verse 8, and as the evil figs which cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Surely, thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah the king of Judah and his princes and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, and to be a reproach and a proverb and a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. So when God gives us a way in our tribulation and we refuse and we are tempted to go our own way, we are looking for destruction. 1 Corinthians 10:13, that's a good one. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. It's all part of his plan. He's got a plan for us to follow. We have to be close to him to understand it and do it. So the only way to have life is Jesus. Walk in the Spirit, listen to the Spirit. Looking unto Jesus, fellowship and abiding in him, to the glory of God the Father. We have the Spirit, we have the Lord Jesus, we have the Father. That is precious, precious fruit. Your focus needs to be on Jesus and closeness with him daily. This is the starting place and the finishing place in our new life as Christians. Then will we bring forth precious fruit, both now and in times of trouble. Have you glorified the Father today? What days really count in our lives? Moses said, teach us to number our days. To me, a day doesn't count unless you've glorified God. How many you got in your count? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, you just have a way of speaking to us as we need it, when we need it, and I just pray that you would help us now to be very close to you as we've come through these wonderful meetings, had wonderful experiences of glorifying you in different ways, and help us never to forget that glorifying you through bringing forth that fruit of just being close to you and the works that come from that is the most important. I pray you bless in Jesus' name. Amen.